Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Digitide Solutions Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Cyril Paul from Ernst & Young. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings call for Digitide Solutions. The company has published its results and has uploaded the investor presentation on the exchanges, and it's also available on the company's website, www.digitide.com. From the company, we have Mr. Gurmeet Chahal, CEO and Executive Director, and Mr. Suraj Prasad, the CFO, both of whom would be anchoring the call. Before we start, a disclaimer: some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which would cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs and assumptions made by information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements while making their investment decisions. On that note, let me hand over the charge to Mr. Gurmeet Chahal, CEO and Executive Director of Digitide Solutions. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Cyril. A very good day to everyone, and thank you for joining us for our Quarter One earnings call. Today, I am joined by my colleague and our CFO, Suraj Prasad. Today's call will begin with a brief recap of our long-term strategy, which we outlined during our last earnings call, followed by a detailed review of quarter's financial and business performance. We will then open the floor for your questions. This quarter marks a bold new beginning for us. As of June 2025, we completed our demerger from Quess Corp Limited and became an independent listed entity on 11th of June. This move is just not a structural change. It is a strategic leap forward to accelerate value creation, sharpen our market focus, and build an enterprise that drives long-term sustainable returns for all of our stakeholders. A quick recap of our 3x3x3 strategy. Our strategy is a bold roadmap to triple our revenues by financial year 2031. The core is simple: focus on three high-potential verticals in each geography, powered by three integrated service lines. This model allows us to drive scale, differentiation, and profitability. We have activated this strategy through five high-impact levers and have already made very good progress. The five levers are building an agile organization, which means streamlined structures with integrated end-to-end delivery teams, bringing on board experienced and domain-rich leaders with proven transformation credentials, a high-performance culture fueled by innovation and continuous learning. That's the third lever. Fourth is automation and AI embedment across service lines to boost client value and margin. And the fifth lever is looking at a very strategic acquisition strategy and partnerships that enhance capability and market access. Across these five, we made significant progress, and I did talk about that in our last earnings call as well. In parallel, we started to reshape our portfolio last quarter. What that means? It means exiting non-strategic contracts, exiting low margin contracts, so that we can sharpen our focus and free up resources for high growth bets. This realignment is on track to complete in the second quarter of this financial year, and we are already seeing some green shoots and early gains. Now I'm going to pivot on our quarter one performance highlights. In quarter one, we continued to build momentum despite the macroeconomic turbulence and the ongoing portfolio transformation. Consolidated revenues clocked 736 crores INR, which is a 6% year-on-year increase. Our domestic market contributed 64% of the total revenue, and the international markets came in at 36%. The EBITDA for the quarter stood at 83 crores, which is a 11.2% margin, a modest increase over our Q4. The significant piece is that our business EBITDA margin expanded by almost 200 basis points. The overall EBITDA held firm as we invested deliberately in leadership, solution innovation, and go-to-market accelerations. We believe these investments are designed to unlock significant operating leverage in the coming quarters. Our PAT for the quarter stood at 10 crore, marking a 150 basis point sequential improvement even after absorbing one-time listing-related exceptional costs of about 9 crores. Coming to the segment performance, we acted swiftly to streamline and sharpen our business mix, transitioning away from non-core and inefficient segments and contracts. Our BPM business posted 539 crores in revenue, up 6% year-on-year. Even given the softness in the BFSI segment, margins rose to 17%, a 255 BPS sequential rise, reflecting disciplined execution and improved operating leverage. Our tech and digital segment generated 197 crores in revenue, growing about 1% sequentially and 4% year-on-year. Steady progress even as we realign the portfolio. The margin rose 63% basis points sequentially. Let me now give you a view onto the sales side. We began FY26 with strong sales momentum, securing 27 new client logos, including a marquee cloud transformation engagement. These wins validate our positioning and demonstrate client confidence in our differentiated offerings. In this quarter, we also launched 15 new AI-led pilots, underscoring our commitment to AI-led delivery. Our total contract value for Q1 stood at 523 crores, fueling future revenue visibility and reinforcing our market traction. Our customer centricity continues to shine through. Our net promoter score jumped to 71.3, one of the highest in the industry and a significant improvement over last year. This is a strong testament to deepening client relationships and superior service delivery. On the leadership and people front, we are very proud to be recognized as a great place to work for 6th year in a row. In fact, this time our ranking improved to 19. You know, this is not just a badge of honor, actually. It's a reflection of our people first philosophy, market leading people practices, and relentless investment in culture, talent, and leadership. A key area of focus for us going forward is driving margin expansion and stronger return on equity. We remain focused on unlocking higher margins and enhancing return on equity through 5 strategic levers. The first is elevating our service mix with more tech and digital offerings that scale profitability. Second is doubling down on international expansion to capture premium pricing and diversify revenue. Third is driving operational excellence through automation, optimization, and process rigor. Fourth is applying disciplined deal qualification and structured pricing to preserve margins and ensure profitable growth. And fifth is strengthening the revenue assurance and cash conversion to maximize capital efficiency. We believe these levers from a high conviction blueprint for delivering sustained EBITDA margin expansion and long-term ROE improvements, ensuring we create exceptional value for our shareholders. In summary, we enter financial year 26 with a high-quality order book, energized teams, and an unmatched clarity of purpose. Our conviction is strong, our execution is bold, and our ambition is clear. We are not just building for growth, we are building to lead. Thank you to our employees, clients, and stakeholders for your unwavering support. Together, we will make Digitide a global leader in AI-first, tech-enabled business solutions. With that, I'll hand it over to Suraj for a deeper dive into our financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Gurmeet. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining this call. I'm really pleased to share our financial results for the first quarter of FY26. I'll also spend some time to outline our strategic progress since we last met and also subsequently our successful demerger and listing. For the quarter, it laid a solid foundation for the start of the year, reflecting a very strategic reset which we initiated and our disciplined approach to a sustainable growth even in this transformation. Our first quarter revenue touched 736 crores, representing a stable 0.4% sequential growth and a 6% year-on-year growth. This performance underscores our ability to maintain growth momentum despite challenging market conditions and demonstrates our strength in our diversified portfolio during our ongoing transformation journey. EBITDA for the quarter is at 83 crores, maintaining our margin at 11.2%. While, as Gurmeet mentioned, while the EBITDA margin remains flat sequentially, we are particularly encouraged by the underlying improvement in the business margins across both of our segments, tech and digital as well as BPM. This vindicates our approach to the focus on the key businesses and also revamp some of the non-core portfolio which we initiated last year. And this also underscores our operational excellence, which means the NPS score which we spoke about also underscores the fact that we have been able to deliver seamlessly even in this transition phase. Net profit for the quarter was 10 crores, a 1.3% PAT margin. This is a 150 basis points sequential improvement. Moving on to the segmental updates, starting with the BPM segment, revenue was 539 crores, 0.4% sequential growth and 6% year-on-year with a 17% EBITDA margin. The segment margin expanded by 255 basis points. This is driven primarily by the improved operating leverage and the cost management, even as we face some headwinds in our verticals in BFSI, etc., in the continuing industry softening. Our tech and digital business generated 197 crores in revenue, 0.7% quarter-on-quarter growth, and 4% year-on-year. Tech and digital now contributes 27% of our top line, and segment EBITDA margin is at 9.8%. This broad-based growth also underscores the increased relevance for digital offerings in our transformation journeys and the price offering of Tech and Digital embedded with BPM. From a geography standpoint, our international portfolio now contributes to 36% of our revenue, strengthening our position across all our growth markets. As Gurmeet highlighted, our sales pipeline remains really healthy and a good mix of new logos and new lines of business from our existing customers as well. I'll spend some time on the corporate updates. Post our demerger, we strengthened our balance sheet that remains to be our core focus. And as of quarter ended June, our gross debt stands at 46 crores, while on a net basis, we are a net cash company at 34 crores net cash. I'd also want to highlight and the investors and analysts to be aware of our working capital dynamics during this quarter. There were expected temporary slowness in our billing and collections due to the new GST registrations and contract innovations across all of our customer portfolio after demerger. This has resulted in a DSO increasing to 91 days during the quarter. However, the good news is that we are already seeing normalization and the DSO is tracking back to our historical levels. On strategic investments and exceptional items, our Q1 results reflect the focused investments in capabilities, people, and offerings that are vital for our transformation journey. Exceptional items, as we've already pointed out, is 9 crores, which is basically the professional expenses and costs towards the demerger and listing, which is a real investment we wanted to do to position us for a long-term success. Following our comprehensive portfolio review, we also successfully accelerated the exit from our select non-core and low-efficiency businesses, as guided earlier. We expect this process to conclude by Q2 of FY26. In terms of long-term commitment and the focus investments, we are continuing our commitment towards long-term guidance on revenue and margin growth. Our disciplined capital management supports progressive earnings per share and return on equity on the long-term basis, and we continued on the same guidance we had stated for FY31. In closing, our Q1 FY26 highlights our successful navigation of the demerger transition while maintaining operational stability, improving profitability, and also improving our customer satisfaction stores, of course, which is really important for us as an entire team. Margin expansion and operational improvements will be driven by the strategic portfolio, which we spoke about. And this, along with the cost optimization, the revenue assurance initiatives we have pioneered now, and the AI-led product offerings, we would continue to be on our prudent capital allocation on the key sectors which we had guided earlier. I thank all of you to join this call and really appreciate all of your questions. I will hand it over to the moderator for your further questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets for asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Gurmeet sir, thanks for wonderful explanation about the scorecard of the company and the future guidelines what you have sorted. Sir, even congratulating for improving score of net promoter score, I think it's very helpful for future growth of our company. So my question was to just understand about this TCV, total contract value, which has fallen from 568 to 523 crore. So how we can read that? How that can impact our company? Hello?
Gurmeet, you want to take that?
Oh, sorry, I think I was speaking on mute. Sanjay, thank you for your question and thank you for your kind comments. So Sanjay, the TCV in quarter one is at 523 versus 568. That's a very marginal difference. And in this industry, typically the last quarter is also a better quarter for bookings for obvious reasons. So I think the momentum continues, Sanjay, and you know there are always one or two deals that shift within the quarter. So I wouldn't read into it too much. We've had two back-to-back quarters where our EM plus NN has been above 500 crores. So that's giving us the confidence that our strategy is working. And we believe this momentum is going to continue.
Great. So my second question was regarding shrinking in our core business margin. We have been doing pretty well in all Digitide, but our core business of Digitide, the margin has come down to 11.5%. And I understand you explain about the non-core business exit. So from Q2 onwards or further more quarters, how we see this rising margin and even top line, not compromising on the top line and coming back to the 14-15% Digitide margin?
So Sanjay, in our last earnings call, we did explain that as we set up a standalone company coming out of, the Quess Corp, there are certain expenses that we have to incur to create a setup, standalone company. Second, we've been making very deliberate investments in leadership and beefing up our offerings. So we did say that versus the last financial year, we should expect 150 to 100 basis points dip. And we had also said that because of the restructuring of the contracts and optimization of the portfolio, the first half of the year, which is quarter one and quarter two, we should see some impact of that optimization and restructuring. We are very confident that from the second half, we will start to claw back. And I did talk about the five levers which we have already started to focus on. So we are working on those five fundamental parameters so that we can get to the guidance that we had given in the last quarter. And we are committed and confident about that.
Great. So my last question, it is regarding your last presentation where I saw that we have a competitive position and moat in IT BPM services. Can you highlight upon competitiveness and even moat? How you see that? How competitive we are and what are the moats you see road ahead?
So Sanjay, again, I must compliment you that, you paid attention to every word we highlighted last time. So the moat that I had referred to was in our BPM business. See, in our BPM business, majority of our business is platform-led, which gives us stickiness in the contracts, which gives us stickiness or differentiation versus our competition. And like I mentioned, we are actually further enhancing that by embedding AI. In fact, last time I gave the example of our collections platform, DigiCollect, and how we are embedding AI to make it more differentiated and bring further stickiness. The other thing that we are very consciously doing, Sanjay, in the new contracts, we are bundling technology, underlying technology with the services. It enables us in two ways. One, it obviously creates entry barriers for our competition, but at the same time, it gives us the flexibility to execute on technology transformation more seamlessly. So those are the moats that we are, so I gave you two examples of moats that we already have and how we are strengthening them, and second, what kind of new moats we are creating.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for explanation. Very helpful. And good luck to you, sir.
Thank you, Sanjay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Javeri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Hope I'm audible. Hello.
Yes, Darshil, you are audible.
Yeah, hi. Firstly, sir, congratulations on a great performance. So just wanted to know, like, I want to know our overall way of our growth. Like, I think we want to go 3x by FY31. So FY26, I think, could be a year of consolidation where, you know, we've just demerged and, you know, we are just, you know, being restructuring a lot of our business. But how do we see everything going FY27? Like, you know, so what kind of growth can we expect next year? I'm assuming this year would be a very flattish year compared to last year. So just wanted to, you know, gather your thoughts on it, sir.
So that's a great question. So in the current financial year, I don't believe we'll be flat. We will definitely be in the upper quartile of the industry growth. Now, coming to the long term, you know, if you look at our historical data, organically we have grown at about 13-14% CAGR. So we believe to be a billion-dollar enterprise, our organic growth should be in the 16-17% CAGR, and then the incremental $150-200 million to the billion-dollar will come through our acquisition that we plan to do, you know. So to summarize, three things. I don't expect FY26 to be flat. In fact, this quarter also we've grown 6% year-on-year. So we will definitely, by the time we end the year, we will be in the upper quadrant of the industry growth, number one. Number two, looking forward, our organic growth should be in the 16-17 ballpark, and then we will get the incremental 2-3% through the acquisitions. And we are not waiting for the acquisitions in the third or fourth year. We have actually started working on that journey as we speak.
Oh, okay. That helps a lot, sir. Sir, see, mean to say, like, we'll be on the upper quarter, so that would be around 11-12%. How would we look at it, sir?
So we definitely want to end the year in double-digit growth. Chen, you're absolutely right.
Okay. That's really fair, sir. And so, if you are going to target 11-12% growth, so I understand you're saying EBITDA can be impacted by 100-150 basis points, but with a higher, you know, operating leverage and maybe a lesser, you know, these exceptional costs, so overall, we can have, like, kind of better PAT margins going forward because, like, our H2 can be significantly better in terms of margins in terms rather compared to H1. Would that also track?
Yes, Darshan. So we expect our margins to start climbing from the second half of this year. And I mean, of course, higher revenue is one of the levers, and I did talk of the other four levers which we are going to execute, and that's why I said we are both committed and confident of a margin expansion in the second half of the year.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. And I just wanted to understand, like, how is the macro environment right now? Like, even, like, in the both domestic and export market, like, is it, you know, very favorable in terms of demand, or are we having to fight for every contract? What's the competitive intensity? Any kind of color on how, you know, the businesses are going would be really helpful, sir.
So, Darshan, you know, in our context, you will have to look through two lenses. You know, since 64% of our revenues come from India, so there will be an India lens, and then there will be a North America lens. See, from the India lens perspective, the market is still strong. There has been a little bit of a softness in the financial services. However, we believe that, you know, things will start to pick up there. And we've not seen a really big impact in our domestic business. On the international side, where majority of our tech and digital business comes from the international market, despite the optimization that we are doing in our portfolio, we have still clocked both sequential and year-on-year growth. And the reason we've been able to do that is we've been very clearly focused on the industry segments that are growing faster than the overall industry, number one. Number two, our offerings, you know, which are a bit differentiated To give you an example, you know, in the insurance, the PNC space, you know, our strategy is based on the two product offerings that we have. One in the data space and second an end-to-end platform. As insurance companies want to get more on the AI bandwagon, they have to get their underlying data structures in place. That is helping us. So because we are focused on industries that are growing faster and service lines that are growing faster, we've been able to hold steady and actually grow despite, you know, some of the headwinds which have impacted the business of our peers.
Oh, okay. That's great to know, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side, sir. All the best, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Krishan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Orient Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, like, I track AllSec. So apart from Digitide, I also wanted to know some of the overall view and guidance if you can give. And for the Digitide, just wanted to understand that 44% of revenue from BFS and insurance. So how are you de-risking vertical concentration amid macro uncertainty in financial services? And also, if you can share more on the AWS transformation deal size and scope and duration, does this indicate a shift toward larger and multi-year digital transformation mandates?
Yeah. So, Jyoti, first of all, thank you for your questions. So, you had two questions. One is, how are we de-risking the concentration in financial services and insurance? And second, you wanted to know about the AWS transformation deal and is it that a sign of the times to come? Okay. So, on the BFSI, you know, look, the banking, financial services and insurance is the biggest spend in the industry. You know, I mean, that size of that market makes it very, very attractive. Our de-risking is from three perspectives. One is geography. Second is the platform embedment. And third is the kind of services that we are creating afresh. You know, so look, because we've got large exposure to both India and US, so our revenues are not dependent on one economy and what's happening there. So that's why, you know, last couple of years, if you see, our growth has been where it has been. So there is a bit of a geography diversification there. Second is, like in the banking and financial services, a significant part of our business is collections, which is platform driven, you know, so which again gives us insulation, stickiness, like I explained, and we are further enhancing that. Third is, because we are so laser focused on data analytics and AI, and that is a service line which is growing across, and the financial services, insurance, banking is always an early adopter of technology. So that is, again, helping us, you know, tide over the challenges that the overall segment softness brings with it. So those are the three ways we are de-risking. Now, coming to your second question, look, as our stated goal is to grow our tech and digital business to 40% of our overall revenues, you know, by FY31. In that, one of the big bets we are taking is application and infrastructure modernization. And that's where the AWS, you know, story fits in. So hyperscale, this application and infrastructure modernization will be hyperscaler led. The deal that we have picked up is a multi-year, three-year deal. In that deal, we are actually helping them migrate, modernize, you know, and we will also manage the assets on an ongoing basis. So yes, from that regard, it's a truly transformational deal. It's a testament to the investments that we have made in our leadership, both on the sales and the operation side. And in fact, as I look into our pipeline today, we have several other hyperscaler-led deals. So yes, we will see more and more hyperscaler-led deals. We will see more larger transformational multi-year deals, Jyoti.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Garvita Jain from 7 Island PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, I didn't get your name.
Yes. Yes, this is Garvita from 7 Islands PMS, sir. I have one question. Apart from 9 crores of one-time cost which we have incurred because of demerger, is there any one-off cost in the expenses? Because I can see that in the unallocated corporate expenses, there is a huge jump. So could you explain that, please?
So, Garvita, thank you. Yes, you are right. We did have a 9 crore one-time because of the demerger, which Suraj did talk about that. Other than that, there is not a significant expense. I mean, other than obviously, like I said, you know, we've been very consciously making investments in beefing up our leadership, enhancing our offerings, and also some of the, you know, other investments we are making on the operations side. Yeah.
So, okay.
If you want to
add, yes, maybe what Gurmeet alluded to. So, there are one-timers which are primarily related to the listing and the merger per se, but the remaining expenses are increased is mostly due to the normal growth which we had already guided to, which is the independent listed entity cost. So, please also you need to keep in mind the entire transformation of enterprise stack, the tech stack, the offerings, all of the investments are paying. What you see in the corporate expenses going up is all towards leadership, capabilities, and market things. There's no one-time impact. These are direct investments. We will look forward to getting the benefits very soon.
All right. I get it, guys. Thank you so much. That's all I wanted to ask.
Thank you, Garvita.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Dharamshi from RM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Ankit, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I had two questions. One is the segment EBITDA margin expansion that we have seen. Can you just tell us what are the key drivers for the 200 basis plus expansion across BPM and 60 basis expansion across tech and digital? And what is the steady state margin which is going to be sustainable for both the verticals? And my second question is the DSO that we told that have increased to 91 days. In last four also we told that we are going to ensure that we kind of streamline that and there will be 5-7% improvement by the end of FY26. So are we sticking with the same guidance that by the end of FY26, DSO will be better? Or do we see there is some more pain left and we may see DSO days further worsening, or how is that? Yeah.
Sure, you want to take that?
Thanks for your questions. So, Ankit, on the first one, the margin expansion in the segments is attributed to the operational rigor that our teams have been driving, you know, and a very focused approach on driving cost efficiency. So that's what you see. On the DSO, you know, in this quarter, it's an exception. And the reason it's an exception is, as we went from part of Quess to an independent listed company, we had to novate all our contracts. While we have been extremely diligent about contract novation, and we had a task force set up for that. However, some of the processes, for example, GST registration, re-registration in states, some customers have to mandatorily do a contract review. So those things have actually had an impact. So we believe this is a one-time impact because of the contract innovations. From a long term, we are committed to be driving improvement in our DSO. So from next quarter, you should see the improvement already showing.
Okay. Thank you. And what would be the steady state margins which we are eyeing for both the verticals? For BPM, would it be in the range of somewhere around 20 to 22% kind of an EBITDA margins that we are targeting?
So look, overall,
maybe I can take that, Gamit.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So, Ankit, so we have given an overall guidance for the long-term 531 as well as the near-term guidance for the current year. So in this current year, what we had also mentioned in the last call was that where we have these investments, pretty much two activities are happening in the first half of the year. One is the deep investments in people, capabilities, and offerings, and also the one-time cost towards the new listed entity and so on. And third is towards our margin improvement plan from the second half of the year. So as we spoke earlier also, the segment margins will follow industry trend in the separate lines of business. BPM, we expect it to be back to the same levels from next year onwards. But this year, from the second half itself, we are already seeing that margin uptick happening. I wouldn't want to give a specific guidance to the number of margin, percentage margin for each of the segments. But at an overall level, as we had guided, the margin outlook is the same, 100 to 150 basis points, depending on overall margin, which is including the corporate investments as well as the one-time cost of a listed company. So thereafter, it should be a margin uptick, and we don't expect any slowness in that, given the fact that one of the levers, which Gurmeet also spoke about, is having our high amount of focus on the international market as well as the second-digit market. Both of these are on the market from the current levels. But we'll have to wait for a couple of quarters, whereas from Q3 onwards, you will start seeing that uptick.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Zaki Abbas Nasir, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. As I remember, sir, last time we had in the last con call, you had said that you'll end the year at around 12-ish to 14-ish percent increase in your overall growth. Now we are in the midst of the second quarter also. Do you see this happening, sir? I mean, would you be fairly confident that you will close the year at whatever guidance you gave in the first quarter, considering the international scenario?
So thank you for your question, sir. I didn't get your name.
Zaki Nasir, sir.
Sorry? Could you repeat?
Z-A-K-I. Zaki. Z-A-K-I. Zaki Nasir.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Zaki. So, I think one of the earlier participants had also asked this question. We are, as I said, by the time we exit the year, we will be in the upper quartile of the industry growth, early double digits. We see that visibility based on both the momentum in the sales that we have had and the pipeline that we have today. You know, to your point on the macroeconomic, of course, we don't have a control on that, but from what we know today, we are fairly confident that we will be in that cohort of growth, Mr. Zaki.
Fantastic, sir. And coming to my next question, sir, we do almost 2/3 of our business in India. And which is, of course, currently a much more stabler business. So wouldn't you want to continue this 2/3 India versus 1/3 international business? Because maybe India gives a better stability to the company, sir. Your thoughts on this?
So absolutely, 64% of our business comes from India, and that's why I said there is, in our inherent business model, there is a risk diversification because of the geography, and the Indian economy continues to do well. So we are very, very confident that, you know, that we will be able to grow at the level that we've planned for. Having said that, 36% of our revenues come from the international markets, and the macroeconomic pressures there have been little more stronger, as we all know. But given the industries that we operate in and the service lines that we are focused in, we've been able to absorb, you know, those inefficiencies. And that's again is giving us the confidence, and that's why last quarter we made that commitment that by the year end, and again I reaffirm that as we are exiting the year, we will be in the upper quadrant.
No, sir. What I meant to ask is last con call, you said that in the longer term, you would want 50% of your business to come from international market. So would you stand by that, or would you feel that maybe 2/3 out of India is a better model to work on?
Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood your question. Look, yes, in the long term, we gave two guidances. One, we said 40% of our business will be tech and digital, which is 26% today, 27% today. And second is, we said that our international and the domestic business will be 50-50, right? So we still stand by that. As we have to expand our margins, the margin expansion will come from higher end work from international geographies where we get premium. Even in that, you know, our domestic business will be growing. We are not defocusing on our domestic business. Our domestic business will continue to grow. It's an area of focus for us today. It will continue to be so. It's just that our international business, we expect it to grow a little faster. So that's what we have, you know, planned for, Mr. Zaki.
Thank you, sir. And best wishes to you and the team, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Darshil Javeri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for allowing me another question, sir. So just wanted to know, like, all our exceptional one-off items have been done in this quarter, or are there some pending for the next quarter, sir?
Suraj, you want to take
that? Sure, I'll take that. This is Suraj here. So we would have some bit of exceptional items in Q2 as well, and this is based on our long-term contract for some professional services in, along with the demerger, but that will be quite in line with the current levels, and we don't expect significant one-off items after that.
Oh, okay, after Q2, there will be no any one-off, right? And this one-off could be in the lines of Q1, roughly.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. That's it from my side, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Dashal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manthan D. Patel from Patel and Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
You're a little feeble, Manthan. If you can be closer to the speaker, or if you can be in the handpiece.
Yeah, now?
Slightly better, yes, Manthan. Thank you.
I have just one question. What will be the steady state CFO to EBITDA conversion ratio like for long term?
So Manthan, the steady state will try to come to a steady state which we were there in the last year. So if you look at in the past, we were almost at around 60% OCF to EBITDA. Now with these investments, etc. going in and this working capital flux which we have in the first quarter, we have to come out of that and probably give you a much more detailed picture. You will see that coming back to the same steady state over the quarter 3 to quarter 4. So this is a very steady business with a lot of deep relationships, etc. So from an OCF point of view, we never had a big challenge. Now we're getting into more deeper tech and digital operations, which will only get better than that. So, but we have still continue to believe that the 60-odd% will continue in the future as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Manthan.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gurmit Chahal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. And again, you know, thank you for joining us. Like I said, we are very, very excited about the financial year 26. You know, we are entering with a high-quality order book, energized teams, and unmatched clarity of purpose. So once again, I want to thank our employees, investors, and stakeholders, and everyone who joined us today. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. On behalf of Digitide Solutions, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.